I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my good friend, longtime friend, John Drennan. We're two Lions fans. We've been Lions fans most of our lives, and we are here this year to track the progress of the Lions, hopefully on their journey to a Super Bowl. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can do so by checking out our website, theshlpodcast.com. That's the Secondhand Lions podcast, but it's SHL. So theshlpodcast.com. And then we'd love for you to share us with your friends and any other Lions fans you know. Heck, share them with other NFL fans. And also rank us and let us know what you think and how we could improve or what you like. We're so excited for the regular season to start now that the preseason is over and all that nonsense can be put aside, and looking forward to the Lions playing the late afternoon game against the Green Bay Packers in historic Lambeau Field this coming Sunday. John, what do you think?
Well, I think there's been a lot of nonsense. You use that word, but a lot of nonsense building up to this week by even well-respected people in the media talking about the Packers. So I'm eager to get to that part. And like you, Bill, I'm so excited to be into the start of the season. And I've really enjoyed doing these podcasts with you. This is our sixth one. I got to tell you, I'm more excited about this one than any. And let's start, though, by looking at last week's podcast where we predicted our 53-man roster and 16 for the practice squad. Well, not all of that, but the 53 we did predict. And, of course, the Lions ended up initially putting 50 on the squad. And a couple of things we talked about, we were surprised by, as most people were, that Dan Skipper did not make the 50th initially, but ended up on the practice squad, but was not waived. Secondly, Tim Patrick, I know I commented last week that I thought, wow, with Patrick and Tesla and Laporta, how tough that could be to defend in the red zone or in short yardage. But we no longer have Tim Patrick. He got traded, and we got a sixth-round draft pick for that. And, again, we don't know everything behind that in terms of Patrick and his injuries, how he was doing this year, what their real plans are for Tesla. But Tim Patrick's gone. We did predict Hendon Hooker would be gone. He is. He signed with Carolina. You and I both were high on Jackson Meeks. In fact, I said I thought we'd keep seven receivers, and I got six of them right, but Meeks didn't make the 50. He did end up on the practice squad. And then Bill said, and you agreed, that we thought Dazarius Smith would end up signing with the Lions by now for that edge rusher support. That didn't happen. But, Bill, real quick, what did happen, the Lions went from 50 to 53. Here's how, and I've got these names real quick, and then we'll move on to the Packers. But they picked up a second-year, I think now third-year safety from the Raiders, Thomas Harper, who I believe from everything I've learned about him could really bring some depth at safety. They picked up an edge from the Jaguars, three-year man Tyler Lacy, and the thought is he can really bring some support to the edge room and defensive line, that he could play either. Another defensive lineman, Tyler Wheat, picked him up from Dallas, each of them coming off the wires or the practice squads. And then they picked up Daniel Thomas from the Jaguars, who's supposed to be really, really good special teams player. He's also a safety in his sixth year. And so that's four additions to the 50, but then Tim Patrick went off that list. So we're at 53 now for the Lions roster, including those four new guys I just mentioned, Tim Patrick's gone. Hendon Hooker's with Carolina. And those are my comments from that. And go ahead, anything you want to share. And then we can get into the Green Bay Packers. Anything you want to share from the roster?
I was just surprised that they cut Skipper. Glad that he's on the practice squad. And Tim Patrick surprised me. Other than that, you never know what's going on. I remember way back in 1971, shows you how long I've been a Lions fan. Everybody was shocked because Alex Karras, longtime Pro Bowl defensive tackle for the Lions, was cut just before the season started. And my uncles, who I've said before had season tickets back when the Lions played at Tiger Stadium, they were not happy that Alex Karras was cut. I forget his name, but they had drafted some rookie tackle that they thought was going to take his place, and he ended up being, I don't remember if he's a bust or not, but he wasn't very good. And which I guess is the definition of a bust. And Karras was gone. Of course, that was Russ Thomas, the GM, and we all know his history if you've been a Lions fan. But my tendency now is to absolutely trust Brad Holmes, that he knows what he's doing. Certainly knows more than we do. He knows more than most of the commentators, because I remember when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, and that was basically lampooned as they reached and went too high. And now I was reading a Sports Illustrated article. 6 of the 10 writers picked him to be Offensive Player of the Year. So I'm going to trust that Brad Holmes knows what he's doing.
Well, Bill, I love that comment. I talked about it. You made a similar comment last week, and I love that you love that. And we both feel so solid with Holmes. You know, and like you said, we don't know everything. My guess is they somehow could read the tea leaves that Skipper wouldn't get picked up. Certainly there was a risk. They put him on the practice squad, but he did not get picked up. And again, if a team's going to take a player off waivers, they've got to make it onto that 53-man roster. I love the strategy where Holmes left the roster at 50 so he could go grab up to 3 players and put them right on the roster, and he did that. And then one person I didn't mention here yet is Hassanin, who got hurt. Well, they did an injury settlement with him. And that simply means once he's off injury, he comes back to the Lions, and there's, I believe, a 1 week or might be 3 weeks where he couldn't play, but he could practice and be on the team. So I know they had an agreement with him that he's going to remain a Lion once his injury is over, and then that 1 to 3 weeks time expires. One more thing, you mentioned Alex Karras. Anybody in our age group definitely would remember him. What a character. I know he got into the movies, and my guess is he thought, okay, in the movies, where he had some movies because of his personality, where, you know, I think some of his movies, he's hanging out on beaches and around a bunch of women and all kinds of things. And versus dealing with Russ Thomas and the Detroit Lions, he might have just gotten to the point of saying, I'd rather be in the movies. But who knows? That's just John Drennan speculating. But Bill, let's get into the Packers. And I think a good way to start this, you know, we've mentioned that once in a while we're going to do segments called Same Old Lions, or, you know, the Bad Luck Lions. And we've certainly had our share, especially with NFL or NFC North teams. So why don't we look in the rearview mirror for a minute, since we now have a windshield that says Super Bowl up ahead. But let's go back to one of your Same Old Lions as it relates to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, it was 1993, and the Lions and the Packers played in the last game of the season. And basically what it was to determine where the first playoff game would be played, whether it was going to be in Detroit at the Pontiac Silverdome or in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. The Lions won that game, so they got the privilege of playing the first playoff game at home. And they led the game, the whole game. And I forget exactly how far ahead they were, but it was more than a field goal. And with 55 seconds to go, wouldn't you know it, they left Sterling Sharp wide open in the end zone. I mean, there wasn't anybody within 10 yards of him. And Brett Favre, of course, threw a perfect pass and hit him in the end zone for the touchdown that won the game. And if you were a Lions fan, you just knew that something like that was going to happen, because that's what just seemed to always happen with the Lions. They were expert at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And I am so pleased now that we're not going to have to be thinking about stuff like that every week, as witnessed by our last season, 15-2.
Yeah, Bill, I remember last year a couple of times talking about, you know, back in the day, it was where Lions won a game that maybe they shouldn't, like Houston, where Goff had five interceptions and Lions still ended up winning. And us talking about back in the day, that's what happened to the Lions. And we were on the right other end of that. Now we're winning games where you shake your head and say, man, other team could have, should have won that, but just didn't. So, all right. Well, with
they're
that,
making the mistakes against us now.
That's right. Exactly. So, well, let's get into Green Bay Sunday for the national game, the 4:30 game at Lambeau Field. And I want to kick it off by, well, where to start. But one start is, let's, where to start? There's been so much noise about the Micah Parsons deal and him going to the Packers. And that's certainly one thing to talk about. But I want to start by saying, Bill, the Lions were undefeated on the road last year. They were undefeated in the North last year. And they won at Lambeau 3 years in a row. And you might say, well, that means the clock's run out on that stuff. Well, here's the other thing. And we're going to make this point. I'm going to make this point strong in this podcast. The Lions are a better team this year than last year. And they are not getting the due they deserve. And Detroit Lions are going to surprise some people who are thinking how many steps they're going to take backwards. So anyhow, where do you want to start with this Green Bay conversation?
Well, I was watching, which I rarely do. I was watching First Take, and they were having their predictions, and former quarterback for, I guess it was the Carolina Panthers in the NFL, briefly with the Patriots. He was a Heisman winner for Auburn University, Cam Newton. He came on with Stephen A. Smith, and he just laughed out loud at people predicting that the Packers were going to win the North. He said, anybody that thinks that the Packers are better than the Lions are just straight up fools. He said, look at the records last year. The Lions are better this year. The Lions had all those injuries last year and they were still 15-2. What makes you think that Jordan Love is better than Jared Goff? What makes you think that the Packers defense can suddenly stop the run? He was all tuned up. And he's not a Lions fan, and it wasn't a pro-Lions show, but he just said he thought it was ridiculous that so many NFL talking heads, just because they got Micah Parsons, were going to choose the Packers to run over the division. And I just don't see it that way. I remember when the Lions played the Cowboys in 2023 and Micah Parsons was on the team, the Cowboys, and he did not get a sack against the Lions. He made five tackles, but on the other side, you had Aiden Hutchinson. He sacked the quarterback three times. So, yeah, I don't see that trade is going to help them win. And in the long term, I think it's going to hurt them. They've given up draft picks. They gave up their best run stopper. And I don't see what all the excitement is. Now, that being said, they might win Sunday. But I would encourage the Lions fans, if that happens, not to panic, because I was watching a retrospective on Tom Brady's career. And one year, the Bills started the season beating the Patriots 31-0. And everybody said, and Bledsoe was their quarterback. And everybody said, oh, they made a mistake. They should have never gotten rid of him. Well, the Patriots went 14-2 that year, and they beat the Bills 31-0 on the last game of the season. And they went on to win the Super Bowl. So I think the Lions are going to win, but if they don't, I'm certainly not going to panic.
Yeah, I hear you. And back to that trade. To me, that trade, Bill, that two things about it. One, it felt to me a little bit like desperation.
Exactly.
Like, okay, this could be our chance to actually get to the Super Bowl. Let's pay all this money. And by the way, a lot of people who are basically ignorant of what's going on out there said, why didn't the Lions do that? Well, there's a thing called a salary cap.
Right.
And, you know, this could end up haunting the Packers. And I'm not wishing that on them. I certainly want the Lions to beat them every time. Yeah, but I'm fine if that turns out to be a sour deal. But and I want to contrast that. I made the point last week that the Lions have really built a program, and let me expound on that. You know, I think they've really got disciplines that they stick to. Like in free agency, for the second year in a row, I've heard them talk about, you know, we've done homework on all these guys. And if somebody's had issues, or we just don't want that kind of personality, they'd come right off the board. So they're not bringing in people who are going to be troublesome. Now, you and I have had comments around Jameson Williams, and I've just always felt there needed to be some maturity there, and that seems to be happening now. But they haven't brought in guys that are clowns and problems and troublemakers, and they're being smart with the salary cap. So now I'm going to ask you some questions. Would you rather have Hutch or Micah Parsons?
Hutchinson.
Yeah, without question. Plus, he's younger. Would you rather have Jared Goff or Jordan Love?
Jared Goff.
How about Jahmyr Gibbs, who you talked about, 6 of the 10 said he could win Offensive Player of the Year, or Josh Jacobs as running back?
Gibbs.
Yeah, and we can keep going down this line. The Packers have two safeties that are good. They have good safeties, but they don't have Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph.
Right.
They drafted a first-round pick receiver. And with their receivers healthy, which are not all ready yet, but I'd much rather have the Lions receivers. We could do this all day.
Yeah, I agree.
And you made a great point that in that trade, they gave up the guy that's been their number one run stuffer, and the Lions run the ball. And I think the Lions are probably licking their chops to turn their run game loose Sunday.
Well, I'm encouraged that they're sticking with their plan. I mean, if they would have got Michael Parsons, everybody would have been all Twitter for a few days, and then we would have started examining it and wondering, wow, was this a good deal or not? And as Hutchinson proved last year, people get hurt.
That's right.
You know, and you give a guy $100 million guaranteed money, doesn't matter if he's hurt or not, you have to pay him. That comes off the salary cap, and the Lions are going to need to sign Hutchinson, Gibbs, Laporta,
Williams,
They're deciding on Anzalone. They got all kinds of players that contracts are going to be coming up. And they can't spend all their money on a what somebody called Micah Parsons a malcontent. So, excuse me. So I'm fine with where the Lions are. I still think they're going to win the division. They have a hard, difficult record or a difficult schedule because they're playing so many playoff teams. And that's just the way the NFL set it up. It used to always be by random. Now they give the teams with the best records the hardest schedules the next year. And the Lions were 15-2. So for 8 of their first 11 games are against last year's playoff teams.
And what I love about hearing that, Bill, is, you know, it starts with Dan Campbell. He's just like, bring it on. I love 2 years ago when somebody said, you know, teams are now going to be targeting Detroit, coming after Detroit. He said, great, we're going to show up on your front porch. Again, they're undefeated on the road last year. They don't back down. You know, they opened 2-3 years ago with the Chiefs for the open, like, tomorrow night, and this is Wednesday, by the way, so tomorrow, the Super Bowl Eagles are playing the Cowboys, now without Micah Parsons, but that first game's a big game. Well, the NFL introduced the Lions and Chiefs, it was, I guess, 2 years ago.
Right.
That, and the Lions beat the Chiefs. Lions want adversity, and they're ready, so... I want to talk more about this roster, Bill. There's different lists out there. You can Google the top 100 NFL players for 2025, and you'll get an ESPN group, and you'll get, you know, different writer groups, and I think an NFL group, and so different collections of people weighing in on the top 100 players. On virtually every list I've seen, the Eagles lead that with like 8 to 9 players, maybe 10. The Lions in every case are second with 7 or 8 players. The Packers are at 4 or 5 with Parsons included in that. And so you got the Lions, and think about eight, the most recent list I've seen, 8 players for the Lions. Well, that's a list of 100 and there's 32 teams. So that means on average, you're going to have about 3 players per team. Lions got 8. Packers are just over the average at 4 or 5. And the only team with more than the Lions is the Eagles. And so that's, and Lions play the Eagles in Philly this year. So looking ahead, that's going to be a fun one.
Here's a random question. Right now, would you trade Jahmyr Gibbs for Saquon Barkley?
No.
I wouldn't either.
Now, last week, the question came up, would you trade St. Brown for Pacua? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Pacua.
And we both agreed that, you know, if we had to make the decision who's the better player, Pacua might edge him out. They're both very close. They're both great players. So there's a lot of those questions, you know, we could ask. But that one, no. I would keep Gibbs. You know, you mentioned 6 out of 10 Sports Illustrated writers, their pick of Offensive Player of the Year this year was Gibbs. You know if Barkley got any?
I'd have to check the list just a second.
And a good chance he got one. I mean, he's a heck of a player. And but no, I'd keep Gibbs. Hey, well, Bill's looking for that for our listeners. I want to read the 8 players who were on the best 100 player list. Here we go. Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, both safeties. Penei Sewell, Hutchinson. Those two are considered maybe the best in the NFL at their positions. Gibbs, Goff, and more people are talking about Goff being a potential player of the year. Laporta and St. Brown. Now, those are all Lions on that list, top 100. I'm going to read off now eight more names, and Lions fans will know these names, who are not on that list. Jamison Williams, David Montgomery, Jack Campbell, DJ Reed, Terrion Arnold, Taylor Decker, and Anzalone. And Bill, I gotta believe if they extended that list to 150, half those guys would be on that list.
I agree.
I mean, that's
Yeah,
six.
just looking at that list I talked to you about, one person picked Saquon Barkley. Six
Yeah.
people picked Gibbs. One person picked Penei Sewell. So I'm surprised there weren't more quarterbacks.
Yeah, that list, it's usually Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes are on those lists. But you also told me one of those Sports Illustrated writers predicted the Lions win the Super Bowl and Jared Goff is MVP.
That's right. I think that was, let's see, Claire Brennan. Yep. Lions 27, Ravens 24, Jared Goff MVP. Well, we believe, John, that the Lions are going to get to the Super Bowl, if not this year, very, very soon. And we're excited to be tracking their progress. I hope people will join in and track it with us. Hey, let me give that podcast website one more time in case you missed it. You're tuning in a little late or you were distracted. It's theshlpodcast.com. SHL stands for Secondhand Lions. Theshlpodcast.com. Rank us and share us with your friends.
Yeah, and please, any comments or questions? If you put a question in there, we'll come back on the next podcast and answer it. And, if you want to push back on some of the things you're hearing, by all means, do that. We're doing this for fans, for people like you and I, Bill, who follow the Lions and want the best for them. And we'd love to have some fan input. And Bill, I think it's time we take a look and say, okay, what are our game picks for this Sunday, Lions or Packers? And I think we should go out on a limb and even give a score.
All right. You want to
So,
go first?
yeah, I'll go first. Without question, I picked the Lions. I do agree with the general statement that is out there that the defense tends to be ahead of the offense early in the season like this. I do think the Lions will have a top three defense this year and top one or two offense again. So I think they're going to score 27. And I think the Packers. I'm vacillating between 17 and 24. I'm gonna go with the 24. So Lions 27, Packers 24. And you know what? I'm gonna amend that. Lions 31, Packers 24. I just got that little urge.
All right. Well, I thought you were going to say my score the way you started off. I wrote mine down just so I wouldn't cheat once I heard yours. I'm checking the weather in Green Bay on Sunday, and they're predicting a slight chance of rain around game time, but then it should clear up. I have the Lions winning 27-20.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Bill,
It would not surprise
20.
me if they won by a lot. It wouldn't surprise me if Green Bay squeaked it out. What would surprise me is if the Lions got beat by a lot.
Bill, you said last week that you saw the potential of Green Bay or Lions winning by a lot, and I definitely see that potential.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun, and I'm glad we're finally playing. We aren't, but the Lions are playing football for real.
That's right. And I got two more questions for you, but first, some listeners might be saying, but guys, you haven't addressed the Lions' young offensive line and losing Frank Ragnow. Well, Bill, again, injuries could disrupt anything we're talking about, but I think as long as Graham Glasgow can anchor the line at center, I've got great confidence in Christian Mahogany from what he did last year and everything we're hearing this year. I think Tate Ratledge is going to be an absolute stud of a professional guard. I get he's a rookie, but I think he'll hold his own. And they got the best tackle duel in the NFL. With Goff throwing the way he does, the receivers they have and the backs they have, I just think the Packers are in a heap of trouble.
I hope so. And listen, if you listen to the podcast and say, well, they haven't addressed something, listen to the previous ones. We probably covered it then, and if we haven't, we'll cover it in the next one.
Yeah.
We've only got 20 to 30 minutes for each of these podcasts, so obviously we're not going to be able to cover everything every time. But looking forward to the game and looking forward to talking about it next week after our Lions victory.
Yeah, and the other thing, Bill, was the loss of the coordinators, but we did address that. I'm just going to leave with this question. What if they end up being better than the two that left? But
that
here's
would be
two
surprising.
questions. That wasn't I got two questions for you, Bill. Just real quick, Vikings and Bears play, I believe, Monday night. Who do you pick?
Who? Do you know where it is?
I do not. Where is the Viking? Here, I'm going to find it right here. Where's the Vikings Bears game Monday night?
I found one option. Soldier Field.
I think it's in Chicago. I didn't get the but does it matter?
Very little. I'm checking right now myself. Let's see. We got it's in Chicago. I'm picking the Vikings.
Okay. And both, they each got their second year quarterback. Of course, JJ McCarthy out last year injured. And then
there was one person in that Sports Illustrated list that has the Vikings going to the Super Bowl. I'm guessing they're native Minnesotans.
Right. Right. And then
what's your
last
other question?
Let's put this out here, Bill. What do you see as the Lions' record this year for the regular season?
Well, I'm concerned about the difficulty of the schedule. I'm going to say 12-5.
Okay, good. And I'm going to say 13-4. And I do want to give people hear that and think, they won't win 13. Here's how I broke it down. I looked at their first four games, they're 3-1. Second four games, 3-1. Next four games, 3-1. Next four games, 3-1. Last game, they beat the Bears. It's 13 wins. So
all right. I hope
that's
you're
how
right.
I arrived at that. All right, my friend. Well, can't wait to do this next week when the Lions are 1-0.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Thanks to our listeners. Bye for now.